What does that sound, you ask?
Welcome to the Rec Show Podcast, a show dedicated to beatmakers around the world. Kick back, relax with the host, Golden Mind.
From the Jazz Boys Goes Blunt 2 album, available on Bandcamp right now. Shout out to the Jazz Boys, this joint is so funky. Y'all enjoy, we're gonna be back with the interview. Welcome y'all, welcome to episode 102. Peace and love, yeah. Peace and love, everybody. Golden Mind here for the Rec Show Podcast, man. Welcome back to another episode. Man, this week has been crazy, but yo, we got it done. You know what I mean? So I hope everybody's counting their blessings and not their problems. Listen, man. Last week we didn't have an episode, but we got a new one this week, man. We are going all the way to Florida. It seems like I connect with a lot of California, Florida, New York, Illinois. Like I connect all over the place. Australia, you know what I mean? Japan's popping in right now. So listen, man, if y'all want to stay tuned to the Rec Show Podcast, man, click the links below. All right. Go to the description of the show and you can click on where the Rec Show Podcast. Everything the Rec Show Podcast. Right now, everything, I moved everything over to GoDivineBeats.com. There's a certain section for the Rec Show Podcast. So if y'all click on that, boom, you'll find everything, previous episodes, all that type of stuff. But yo, this week, man, we are going to Brooksville, Florida, man, which is a city in Florida, about 7,800 residents, you know, or so. But we got a beat maker, a music producer, a retro gamer, a content creator. If you ever looked at his content, man, on IG, it's super dope, man. Just everything he does with it. And he's a toy fan, so you know we got to chop it up about that. But he specializes in hip-hop, electronic, funk, experimental. Like, yo, man, you can't box this guy in. So for the B-heads, this is definitely one of the ones you want to tap into. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the one and only Fucci to the show. Fucci, what's good, family?
What's good? What's good? Yo, I appreciate all the kind words of the intro, bro.
I got you, man. Yo, listen, yo, thank you for coming on the show, agreeing to come on to the show, man. It's my honor to have you on, man. I got to put the people on to you, man, and to what you provide musically and visually as well, with your beats and stuff like that, yo. So for the internets, can you, like, for the B-heads and the internets, can you just tell us a little bit more, like, what your name even means, how you even came up with your name, and then also any associated collectives or labels you might be a part of as well?
Word, yeah. So Fucci actually is just my last name. My full name is Alex Gil Fucci, and pretty much since I was a kid, man, elementary school kids have just been calling me Fucci my whole life, you know.
Right.
So Once I decided to start, you know, beat making under a moniker, I just kind of decided Fucci. I had a bunch of other names back in the day, but I'm like, you know what? I've been called Fucci my whole life, you know, so might as well stick with it.
You're right.
Yes, sir. And right. Then as far as like, you know, some of the collectives, like I run with my buddies that I grew up with here in Spring Hill, Brooksville. It's me, my buddy, Moby Vic, Ars Artists, John G, Cowboy Dracula. We got our own band, label named RPDB.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, we do all sorts of different styles of music. So you could catch us on there, on Spotify, and all DSPs. And, we got a couple albums out, under that band name. Actually, we got like 3 or 4 albums out. And yeah, if it wasn't for me being a part of this band, I probably wouldn't have been ever putting out the content I'm putting out now, man. That band taught me so much about, you know, just making music and being consistent about making music as well. So yeah, there you go. That's my story.
Nice. Nice, man. So listen, so once we get that, the bands that you were talking about, I'm gonna link them in the description of the show, internet. So don't worry about how to find them. We gonna help you find this band and tap into what they're doing as well. But yo, man, so is it my understanding you've been creating beats for 14 years or so, or is it more than that?
Yeah, it's been about 14 years since I started making beats. I started making beats in like 2006, but I got real like serious about it, where I was making them every day, and I was, you know, rolling with the RPDB, and we were making beats ever since like 2008, 2009.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, man. Yo, you've been making beats for a while now, so I know you got some jewels in your head, man. You teamed up with the band and everything, but my first question would be like, what has kept you to keep wanting to create beats, man, to create music for so long, you know?
You know, man, honestly, I just feel like if you're passionate about the art of making music, I feel like you end up just wanting to stick with it, you know? Even if like you might have like a lapse where you don't make a beat for 2 months, 3 months, you know, or you haven't made a beat for a whole year, you haven't made music for a whole year, it's still in you, you know what I mean? You still love that art, you know, because I've gone through hiatuses a bunch in my 14 years, you know, whether it's been from moving or, you know, started a new career and, you know, just life and shit like that. So, my bad. Can I curse on here?
Yeah, you can cuss. You can cuss, man.
My bad. You're good. the whole thing with what were we talking about again?
Well, we're just talking about, you know, what's kept you going and creating for so long, for so many years, you know?
Yeah. Really, it's just, and then the main thing has just been having my group of friends since 2009. Those same guys that, you know, I've had a group chat with them since way back in the day. So, and we're always sharing music back and forth. And that right there has kept me motivated. And then what really pushed me over to wanting to like push my music out there and make content was during the pandemic. And then us putting together these albums remotely, it got me just really inspired since then to continue to create every day. But prior to that, you know, putting out those albums with my band, it was really just being into my chat every day and just wanting to impress my friends, you know, wanting to impress Vic, wanting to impress Andy and John and show them, hey, man, yo, check out these new beats that I'm making. So that really just kind of kept me going, you know?
Mm. Nice.
Having those friendships.
Man, that's basically like your network. Like you teamed up with all of these different creatives, man, like-minded individuals. Man, that's what I think, you know, if it's not me misunderstanding, but I think the pandemic actually drove that point home too, to where collaboration, you know, getting with other people that are, you know, like you and trying to achieve the same goal as you, express themselves musically or artistically. I think that drove the point home that, yo, we need other people to help us get along. Is that a true thing for you as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That, and it really, it taught us, like, we got to do this thing remotely, you know, because we're all locked in our houses and stuff. So that's kind of what kept me. Yeah, I guess that's also, it kept me wanting to collaborate with them, you know? So.
Man, so let me ask you this, because I'm going to go back, we go back in history, man, just to get a better picture of Fucci. What was that spark that got you into creating your own music? Like, where did that happen? When did that happen?
That's a good question. Thank you so much for asking that. Really, my aunt. So, you ever heard of freestyle music? It's like dance music, kind of Latin dance music in like the late 80s, early 90s. Like, it's kind of heavily, it's like a Northeast thing. You ever heard of that stuff?
I haven't, freestyle. But I will after this.
Okay. Yeah. So, my aunt actually, she's a musician and she kind of got a little bit of like fame from being a musician. Her name was Sapphire, and she made this like freestyle music, and that's kind of what got me into it initially, right? That, and then it was a culmination of that, and then my family, I'm Puerto Rican, so my family, we would, every time they would get together, they would have the congas, they would have the steel drum, stuff like that, you know, like all like the horns.
Live instrumentation, yeah.
So it was a mixture of those two things. So my aunt, seeing my aunt at this level, and then also just seeing music at this, you know, just at your backyard at a party, learning how to play the congas, stuff like that. That kind of really got me into making music. And I always knew, like, oh, and then on top of that, my brother, he was a rapper. And all I ever wanted to do was like, I want to make beats for my brother. Like, I want to make beats for him. And so that's what kind of really got me into it, because my brother was just heavily listening to Wu-Tang, you know, Mobb Deep, and then like just listening to Hot 97 back in the day. That's what kind of, it brought all of it home and made me, you know, my main focus and my main love is always hip hop. So that's kind of what got me into it, was my brother and all the things he was into, right? And so as soon as I found out how to make a beat on FL Studio, every day I try to make a beat for my brother so he could try to rap on it.
Nice. Out of necessity, yeah. Man. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Is he still rapping?
Yeah, he's still rapping. My brother's name is Vivid. He was actually on Volume 33. I believe the track name is The Bad. That track.
Oh, that's him. Like,
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah, okay, yeah, it's The Best, track number 21, man.
Yeah, dang, bro, you know my album. That's crazy.
Listen, I'm telling you, I've been living with this thing, man, like it's from start to finish, dog. Like, yo, we're gonna talk about the album in a little bit, but so Vivid's rapping, you making beats out of necessity. Seeing your aunt do live instrumentation, you know, performances and stuff like that. That was the spark, man. And was that 14 years ago where you first got that spark?
Well, no, that spark happened since I was like 8 years old. And on top of that, my aunt's uncle, my aunt's husband, so my uncle, he made beats. Like, he actually made hip hop beats. And it was like the first time I ever messed around with the MPC 3000 and the SP 1200 was like, I was like 6 or 7 years old. I was in New York with all this gear. So that's kind of what got me into gear in the first place. I always knew I wanted an MPC after having that experience on the 3000 when I was like 7, 8 years old.
Wow.
But yeah.
Wow, so the whole family is into music, man, creating music.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. What was it like growing up in that environment? Like, I don't know if your mom and dad were like listening to a whole bunch of, you Puerto Rican, so I guarantee they had music bumping on a daily basis, yo.
Yeah. My mom was heavy with the 80s, and she loved like the 80s like dance music. you know, like the In a Dream, you know, that song, like that kind of stuff, you know. And then my dad was more into like, because my dad's straight from the island. He's from Ocampo, you know, that means like you live like way in the sticks. And he would listen to more like salsa and merengue. So that was kind of like a mixture of both of those.
Yeah, because I grew up with, I grew up with all over in Jersey, man. So I grew up with like Puerto Rico.
Oh, you're from Jersey?
Yeah, man. Yo, I'm a Jersey kid.
Shit. What part of Jersey?
Yeah, South Jersey, Camden, man. So.
Oh, Camden. Let's go. Aquarium.
Yeah, that's where they're, that's where I'm from too, man. So.
Yeah.
Listen, I grew up with Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, like, you know, a whole bunch of a melting pot of just music being played throughout the day, throughout people's cars, you know, what was whenever you first started listening to music, like what were you driven to listen to in your own?
You know, it's funny. I actually think I was more into like pop music when I was like 6 or 7. So I would listen to like, I listened to shit like the Spice Girls. I'm talking about when I was real young, and then like I got when I was like 10 years old, Linkin Park. I loved Linkin Park growing up. But I like pop music a lot, like NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, that shit. Like when I was like 5 or 6 years old, because that's what was coming out around that time. So, and that was what was on the radio.
Man, yeah, my brother was heavy into the Spice Girls. I'm talking about getting the posters, like he knew all the songs.
Man. I can't even recite a song anymore, but I remember being into them when I was a kid.
Yeah, man. Yo, okay. Yo, nothing wrong with that, because that just helped you with your musical journey anyway. You know, so man. Yeah. Okay, so let me ask you this. Like, if you can remember, can you remember like what pillar of hip hop you started with, whether it be like DJing, MCing, breaking, graphing, like which one of those did you start doing first?
Oh, no, I started making beats.
Beats, okay. Man.
Yeah, yeah. I can't really dance like that. I got 2 left feet. And I was always like, you know, I can rap, but I'm real self-conscious about it, man. That's the whole thing. Like, I'm like, oh, I sound too nasally, or my voice sounds funny, or my flow is off. So I kind of stuck away from rapping, and I just, started making beats right away.
Right. Wow. Like, do you remember the first rhyme you ever wrote?
I can't. I'm trying to think. Because it's like, you know, those embarrassing memories, they're locked away.
You locked them shits away, man. Don't ever think about them. Yo, but that's how we start, right? You know what I mean? Like, that's how we start making music too, is, you know, we start trying to put sounds together, trying to make it sound good, but those beats would never see the light of day because they was our training beats, you know? So until we got to this level that you are right now. And for everybody that's listening, man, we're talking to Fucci, man, straight out of Brooksville, Florida, beat maker, retro gamer, content creator, right? So what if you're able to, can you name that one beat or that one song that kind of just blew your mind and kind of solidified it for you, like, yo, I don't know what this is, I don't know how they created it, but I need to try and make music that sounds something like this?
Man, it's probably gonna be like, can I give 3?
Yeah, you can give as many as you want. I don't know why I say one. That's a
so I always wanted to be like, so when I started making beats was around the time Graduation came out from Kanye. Mm. And I always wanted to make a song like Stronger, because I love Daft Punk. Mm. And I loved Kanye. So I always wanted to make a beat like Kanye West, Stronger. And then, let's say that one. And then, shit. This is tough. You know what? One answer. Kanye West, Stronger. That was kind of the one. I was like, I want to make a beat like this. Oh, and Wu-Tang Forever, the first song on that album.
Man, that's a classic album. Both of those are classic albums right now. So, but that's not a bad way to go. Like, what was it about those two songs that was like, yo, man, like I gotta make it. I gotta make music.
Yeah, well, you know, once I heard Forever and that track, I went back and listened to all of his discography, RZA's, like RZA's production from the 36 Chambers onto the the Ghostface Iron Man album. Mm-hmm. All that production, I wanted to make beats just like that, you know. And it's funny, when I started making beats, I would like try to mimic that, you know, not realizing that I'm not trying to not be myself. I'm just trying to mimic somebody else. So, you know, that those that kind of what was like those like sounds were what really got me is like the way he would chop up the vocals. You know, he'd do these like tiny chops on the samples, you know, like kind of how Jay Dilla does with the micro chops. And then, you know, those he would do that for those albums. And I remember being like blown away. And then for Kanye and that, I was just kind of obsessed with how the vocals mainly, you know, you have so many different elements on a beat, right? When a lot of times, you know, like you still got to fit a vocalist over the top. You still got to fit other extra instrumentation over the top. But he just does with that production on Stronger. It's just so interesting. And it's like it was so intricate. And I wanted to make songs just like that when I started. So, yeah, those two.
Man, those two songs are not a bad way to start. To start your journey, man. You know, like, for real, man. Like, those are a great way to be like, you know what, man? I gotta make music. But then, eventually, you know, actually, this is a good question to ask, too, man. It's eventually, you know, we start trying to mimic the people we look up to, the creatives that we look up to. But then, at what point did you realize, like, yo, I think I found my sound. I think I found my sound. I'm gonna go in this direction, to where it's me.
Yeah, I don't know where the actual turning point was. I know I spent a lot of time like the first time I heard Mad Villainy was like 2009, 2010, and I know I spent a lot of Mad Villainy, MF Doom, and Madlib. I spent a lot of time kind of trying to make these beats with no drums, no samples, like a good amount of compression. Or sorry, no drums, just samples and like a good amount of compression and some just like real flavorful stuff like that. And so, you know, I spent a lot of time trying to recreate that. And then I feel like it was around the time with my band and me kind of just playing other instruments, you know? I realized like, man, you know, I do better just being myself versus trying to copy somebody else all the time. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I feel like it took a long time for me to find myself again versus me trying to clone somebody else's style, if that makes sense. And it took me being in that band to kind of have like a mental reset, I feel like. I know it's only been like 3 years now, 4 years since that band started, really like putting out albums. But it was really that band and the pandemic that kind of made me like drive it back and say, yo, I got to just be myself and do what I want to do versus like trying to make this style and trying to be like somebody else. So. And I did that. It's tough because, you know, you have a lot of these influences, right? Like, especially being a producer, you listen to somebody else. You're like, yo, holy shit. How does this person do it? It's like listening to Tatsu Maki. You're like, yo, how does this person do this shit? Or you listen to like Flying Lotus or anybody else. You want to like mimic that style sometimes. And then inadvertently, you don't realize you're kind of taking steps back from being yourself. So for me, I just, ever since I've kind of been in that band, I just pick things that I like from people that I hear, right? So, like, I'll just give you an example, right? My tag, it says Fucci, right? Like, you hear it in all my videos, right? I actually got that idea from listening to Ager, this guy, this other producer on IG that I found. And I heard him use that vocal, Ager, Ager, Ager. And I'm like, oh, shit, that'd be really cool if I just put Fucci instead of Ager. So, you know, because it's me making the beat, right? Yeah. So that's kind of like what I do now. Instead of outright trying to copy someone's style, right? Because it's easy to do that. It's easy to get lost in what somebody else is doing. I just kind of find something that I like about them and say, yo, I'm going to add that into what I'm doing right now. So I know that was a long-winded response, but.
Nah, you're good, because it takes that long. And I'm going back a couple episodes, man. I just remember Bap Notes, the episode, I think that was episode 99, where one of the keys was they were like, yo, it takes a long time for a musician to play like themselves. You know, it just drove, right now you saying that, it just drove that point home, because it does take a long time for you to play like yourself. It takes practice, consistency, you know, failing, you know, mimicking, and then you figure out, okay, man, this is my sound, this is what I like, and this is what I like for people to know me by, musically, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
yeah, man. So, yo, everybody, Fucci is in the house, man. Listen, we got, I got so many questions, dog, but I had to whittle them down to like 15 questions, yo, because I had like 45 questions just drawn up doing research and stuff.
Word, yeah, that's cool, man.
So, but I did want to ask you, what's the most important thing you do when you're creating your beats?
I guess it depends on what I'm making, right? Mm-hmm. If we're just talking strictly hip hop here, it's to find the right loop. Mm-hmm. Right? If we're talking strictly hip hop, because like when I'm making hip hop, I got to use a sample, right? Mm-hmm. Most of the time, sometimes I won't, but you know, if I'm looking for a sample, just got to find that right loop, man. That's like, literally, like I consider myself a loop digger, man, because like a lot of times I'll just sit there, listen to vinyls, you know, go on YouTube, and I'll just, once I find that right loop, and you hear it, right? Once it's that last measure, you're like, oh shit, that's a dope loop. Like, because you kind of like replay it back in your mind. And what happened, how I got to be that way was the SP-404, right? Because you could, you know, the way you record samples on there, you got to like find the loop. And so a lot of times, you know, without the 404, I'll just listen to the record. Oh, I found the loop. There you go. So, yeah, it's all about finding the loop for me.
So that's a good one. A follow-up question to that is, what is the, like, how do you find, or what are you listening to in order to find the right loop?
Not too many instruments. I like it to have the essence of the sample, right? Mm-hmm. Of the whole entire song in it, but not have too many instruments to overwhelm your sample, right? Mm-hmm. So like, and I'll even chop that way meticulously, right? Like I'll find certain parts of the sample and I'll just pick out parts that don't have too much noise, right? So I mean, like when I mean noise, I mean like it doesn't have like it's just a section of the song where it's just a bass line and maybe some drums, or maybe a bass line and piano, but it's not like a bass line, piano, vocals, orchestra, like all this shit, because yeah, that overwhelms the beat when I'm creating. I cut you off, my bad. Were you saying something?
No, you good. You just saying it doesn't have the whole salad inside of the meal. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's just like having just like a little bit, and that'll be like my verse. But then, you know, I might find a part of the sample that has all this shit and it'll just be like a chorus, or I'll put it as an intro, or, you know, but for the most part, the main part of the beat, I like to not have too much noise in the sample.
Mm. That's another one. Internets, man, that's another jewel you just dropped, man. Not having so much noise inside of the loops that y'all are trying to find, which like you really have to pay attention to each song in order to figure that out. You can't just take every song, because some songs just have like 10 instruments inside of it, man. It's so crazy. Like, I don't know how people can chop up a song that has like 10 instruments in it and they still make it bump, which is, I don't know if that takes experience or it's just an ear.
Or Serato Studios.
Right, because you can stem it, right? So
yeah, bro, Serato's is the shit. I haven't used it yet, but I watch all these videos of all these other cats using it, and I'm like, yo, it's like crazy what they can like what they can do with the vocals, and like it's all in real time. I'm like, man, that's the dog I got to get on.
Yeah, that's another. Man, that's a cheat code, man. Serato Studio is a cheat code for real.
Yeah, deadass.
Man, Serato Studio, and then I can't leave out Koala Sampler, man.
Bro. You know, I tried. I've made so many beats on Koala, and I don't know what it is, bro. I feel like I don't have the sauce for it, bro. Like, you hear Impression and Tatsumaki and what's that other dude, Taki, and you hear like some of the shit that they make. I'm like, bro, it's mind blowing the shit they do with that Koala Sampler.
They do some amazing things with that thing, man. It's such a powerhouse for like,
yeah.
If you want the whole full thing unlocked, it's like $7.99 or something like that. Like, and it's on your phone or your iPad, and then they got an Android app. Like, it's, bruh, like, there's no reason you can't make a beat somewhere throughout your day. Like, if you really think about it, compared to like, taking, like, I have a machine, so I can't take machine with me everywhere I want to go, but I can, you know what I mean? If I hear a song, like, I can just, boom, I can go to Spotify, boom, sample it from there, and then take it home and then transfer it. But man, Koala is just a beast, man. But okay, that brings me to my next question for you, man, is, and I know from like your videos on IG and everybody, either while you're listening or after this, man, go to this man's IG, man. It's some crazy nostalgic. Like, it's so dope, man, seeing your videos. But you got a slew of instruments to help you, you know, create your beats. Like, you got an SP-404, an MPC-2500, a PO-3, mm-hmm. PO-33. You got a lot more instruments. But then I'm going to gaming. You got the Nintendo Switch that you make beats on, a Sony PlayStation.
Yeah.
You got so many different things, man. I feel like you're the Puerto Rican DiBiase, man. Like,
yo, damn, that's like such a big compliment.
Yo,
man. I don't know, man. That's a big shoes to fill right there.
They are, but yo, I feel like, yo, because you know how DiBiase, he can make a beat on anything. You know what I mean? Like, you doing the same thing. Like, where does that, like, how are you doing this to where you're making beats on these all these different avenues, and it's not boxing you in? Like, is that intentional for you to make beats like that?
I don't know whether it's intentional or not. I just, you know, I like to make music on other pieces of equipment because I don't know, it's the challenge of working on this new piece of gear. It's inspiring to me. It inspires me, and so something different comes out just of me making a beat on my PSP versus making a beat on the PO33. So, and I like these differences that you get with some of these samplers just because of the way you interface with it. Like, the beat I make on an MPC is going to sound completely different than a beat I might make on the PO33. I mean, you're still getting the Fuji beat, but it's still like, you just, I don't know, man. It's just something about the way you interface with it. I think that's kind of like why I also enjoy using all this gear, right? Why I enjoy making a beat on the PS2 or making a beat on the Switch or my PSP, because I know it's a different interface and I'm going to be, I don't know, creating the beat differently. Yeah.
it's just tapping into a different part of your brain to where you're making different music. So basically every instrument helps you create differently, right? Compared to...
Exactly. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Man, that's amazing. So my question would be, which one of those is your favorite to make music on?
So I'd say my favorite to make music is the 2500. But if... I'd say, sorry, my two favorite are 2500 and Ableton. But if I were to if I were to get rid of all my gear tomorrow, get rid of my computer, I would only keep the SP404 MK2.
Wow. Wow. What is it about the SP404?
All my sound processing comes from it. So, and it's a powerhouse, bro. I mean, you could do literally everything on that 404 MK2. I personally haven't made a single beat on it. So it's funny that I'm saying that, but I know that the day that comes that I go to make a beat on it, I know I'm going to have everything at my disposal to make a track on that thing. Right. Cause I used to work on a 404 SX and I used to make a lot of beats just on a 404 by itself. But the MK2 is something different, bro. You could do so much with this machine. It's crazy, man. And then just the effects, right? So let me just kind of brief you on the effects. So you could use a chain of four different effects, right? And I kind of have like eight different chains that I like to use, right? All kind of different flavors of saturation, kind of depending on what kind of beat I'm making, right? Or what kind of track, music, anything, right? Because I literally use it for all of my tracks. I don't think I've not used it. Like even on the Volume 33 album, the SP404 is handling all the effects. So yeah, man, it's a powerhouse.
Yeah, man, that thing is a powerhouse, man. Shout out to Roland, man. Roland's definitely been creating good products, quality products, man, that you know, beat makers and music producers can use. I need Roland to go ahead and cut a check to DiBiase though, man, you know, respectfully, because he's been spearheading the campaign. Him, Rash G, it's a whole bunch of different people that use the SP404, man, and they just be killing it, man. Like, yo, it's on a different level for them to create beats. But you're right, man. It definitely is a powerhouse. I got mine like last year, and then it wasn't until this year where I really started unlocking the possibilities inside of this box, man. This thing is amazing, yo.
Yeah, it really is. And just all the different flavors, like I said earlier, the different flavors of saturation. You know, I could have one chain where it's like, you know, I start off with the filter. And then I'll add tape saturation, right? Mm-hmm. And then at the end of that chain, I'll use a 303 vinyl sim, and that shit has crazy compression.
Yeah. So what is it about, because I'm noticing that like a lot of people talk about the effects on this inside of this box, man. Like, If you were to take the SP404 away, like, it, how do you get the effects, the sounds, or your music to sound like you want it?
If I were to just have all my effects taken away?
Yeah, like all the effects from the SP404 Mark II. Like,
well, I mean,
how would you get all of those sounds otherwise?
Oh, I would just there's good plugins on my computer, and I also have, I don't know if I'm cheating the way I'm answering this question, but I also have a rack mount with a couple of pretty good compressor and a preamp too. So I have different options so I wouldn't sound exactly like how it comes out of the 404, but I could get kind of a similar sound, and the flow is still going to be the same, right? Because I'm still going to make the beat the same way, regardless of the effects or not, right? So yeah, the beats are going to sound a little different because of the effects, but it'll still be the same kind of flavor.
I got you, man. So basically, it's not even going stop you. It's only adding to your arsenal of, you know, how you creating beats and what you want it to sound like. So
exactly.
Man, okay, I gotta ask this question, man, because, you know, how instrumental has Mixed by Vic been to your music journey, man?
Yeah, Mixed by Vic. So he goes by two names, right? He goes by Mixed by Vic for his engineering, and then he goes by Moby Vic for his production. As far as his engineering, if you're talking about just that, my albums wouldn't sound as loud as they do, as pronounced as they do, right? Volume 33, if you were to hear the dry version versus the version that he mixed and mastered, it's like, it's night and day difference. He's the best engineer that I know, and that I personally ever met. And he's been my best friend before he was an engineer. And just watching him come up at like that, it's also been a motivation for me, right? It's been an inspiration for me to see him be like this nobody mixing engineer to, like, you know, he's doing really good shit now. I could say he was a nobody because he's my best friend. He's like a brother to me. But as far as his production, right, his production is just another thing that inspires me, bro, because it's just you know, him and I, we go back and forth like meth versus chef. Mm-hmm. So whenever he makes a beat, I'm like, yo, I gotta make a harder beat than that. So I get inspiration from competition as well as just from just seeing how much effort he puts into everything that he does.
I got you. Yeah, man. Competition. I mean, and it's friendly competition. It's not like,
oh yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's not that the angry type of, you know what I mean, like I'm better than you type of thing, but it's still kind of like, yo, I'm trying to I'm trying to make something that'll knock you out.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So I get it, man. So, yo, man, we got the reason I asked that is because we got to talk about a couple albums, man. Actually, a few albums in your discography. And for everybody listening, go to fuchibeats.bandcamp.com, man. I'm going to link the description, his whole catalog in the description of the show, man. So all you got to do is scroll down. But listen, man, we got to start talking about Smoke, man. Smoke was the first album that you put out in 2022, May 5th, right? So this is a album, I'm listening to it and I'm like, yo, this is some dope hip hop meets The Matrix meets, like, you know what I mean? Like, this album really just, I was like, yo, this shit is dope, yo. Like, so can we talk about Smoke? Like, how did Smoke come to be, man?
So that's another one of the things that came from the pandemic and me just trying to find myself, right? I was heavily influenced by someone, like, there was a local act out here, Alien House. I have like a couple of people I used to work with, but you know, they're also musicians out here in Tampa, and so that was like a product of that, as well as my buddy Cowboy Dracula. He made like a drum and bass project. He was in the middle of working on a drum and bass project. So for me, I was just like, yo, I want to make some dance music, something that's electronic, something that's crazy, kind of far out there. And so that's kind of what came about. And also just being like, I love Aphex Twin. I love like a lot of my musical influences. I do love hip hop at the end of the day. That's my pride and joy. But I have a lot of other musical influences outside of that, you know. So I was heavy into like Aphex Twin. And on top of that, my buddy Andy, you know, he makes all sorts of different styles of music, ours artists. Sorry, just one sec. My brain fart. But so yeah, it was a lot of that, a culmination of that. And then it was just like me just like being like, all right, I want to make something out of the box. And actually, I have so many more of those tracks. And so the reason why I labeled it the way I did, right, was all capitalized and has an exclamation point at the end. It's actually part of a series of other albums that I'm planning to release. I just haven't gotten, not that I haven't got around to it, just like I've been kind of focusing more on like putting out beat tapes. But it's actually part of a series of other projects that I'm releasing. And one coming actually in October. That's a part of that series where it's more of like a different side of me, a different side of like what you guys might know, you know, what you guys might see on IG or what you guys might have heard from my beat tapes. It's more of the, you know, it's the stuff that I'm influenced by, like outside of hip hop, you know. I mean, who else is like heavy influence? Oh, Radiohead too, you know, like I listen to Kid A heavily. Flying Lotus, all of this stuff. So like that's kind of like where I drew a lot of the inspiration for that project. It's far out there.
which I truly appreciate, man, because you know we're not all just, you know what I mean, listening to this one type of music or creating one type of music. So why not express that and show that, you know? So man, Smoke is definitely one of them ones, man. Like if I'm like, you know how coders be listening to like certain types of music and stuff like
that. That's so funny, bro. I don't mean to cut you off, but bro, that's exactly what I made it for. Yo, so what I do for a living is IT. I'm a network engineer, right? And so when I made this album, I was like heavy into the books with a lot of the IT stuff. So I actually made it with the aesthetic of like you going into a data center. And like, go ahead, what were you saying?
No, I'm listening to you, and people going, you going into a data center.
Yeah. That was kind of the concept was like a data center. Like you're in a data center late night and like this is the shit you got on in your headphones while you're coding, you plug in cables away. Like that was actually the concept behind it initially. That's funny you said that shit.
Yo, because I'm doing the research for the show and I'm listening to this whole album. You know how much work I got done? Like just listening to this one album.
Yo. No,
man. Oh my gosh. So, I gotta just tell you, man, Smoke is amazing, man. Thank you, Jella. Industrial Punk is another one. Firepower Nexus Catalyst, like that's another, yo, man, like, and it flows too. Like the album from start to finish just flows very well together. Like, did you do that on purpose?
Yeah. You know, I a lot of times when I hear other people put out albums, I'm not judging the way anybody does their music, whatever. Like, the way you do it is the way you do it, right? But I find that the ones that I'm always more drawn to, right, are the ones that are beginning to end. They all flow together. So, like, I'm talking as early as Dark Side of the Moon, Pink Floyd, all the way up to, you know, what other album could I name? Mad Villainy, right? That's another one. Where it's like beginning to end, you got this complete, consistent flow. Even, what is it, Kendrick Lamar album. You get this flow the whole way through. You know, you got either a story connecting it or you got something. Like, you got the instrumentation connecting it. And so that was kind of like my thought behind it was like, and that's kind of always I always try to do that with all my albums. I feel like I did it a lot with Smoke and Volume 33. But yeah, I like to have like a complete flow beginning to end on my project. So anyways, yeah.
Yeah. I like the way, like, I really appreciate how you put your projects together, man. Cause you could, it kind of reminds me of like, yo, I would get a CD or a cassette, just pop it in, click play, and then back up. Like, I'm not waiting to skip songs and all that type of stuff. Like, that's how when I'm listening to your music, like, that's how I feel. It's just, I can press play, boom, and just listen to the whole thing. No skips, man.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. And then we got to talk about Volume 2, right? So Volume 2, which came out in December, man, 2022, you was busy, bro. Yeah. You was doing it all, man. We got to talk about Volume 2, man. Well, you have Volume 1 and then Volume 2. Is that a joint project, both of those?
So the way I have it, Volume 1, 2, 33, those are all separate, but the way I have it, it's like it's series. So like my beats, if I ever put out a beat tape, it's always going to be like Volume 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all the way up to whenever I'm done, right? And then whenever I put out like another project outside of a beat tape, that's kind of why I have these naming conventions, right? If I put out a project outside of it, it'll have like the title like Smoke, right? But that's kind of what I did with Volume 1, 2, and 33. So
nice, man. So Volume 2, can we talk about Volume 2? Because Volume 2 is another dope project that a lot of people need to tap into as well, man. Like, yo, like, can we talk about Volume 2? How did Volume 2 come to be?
So volume two, I actually made most of that while I was I was doing, oh my god, what the hell is the name of this app? What's the streaming app? I'm like, I always do this shit when I'm talking too much. I was doing most of my things online,
Twitch.
Right?
Twitch?
Thank you, Twitch. Jesus. Yeah, yeah, so I was doing most of my beats on Twitch, right? And so that's kind of what came about with that one. I was just like trying to put out music on my Twitch and like just make all these beats live. And that's kind of what that was just me making the beats live. And then also me stripping back a lot too. Because like I like to do it with my beat tapes. Where like I like to strip back a lot of the elements and just keep it kind of core hip hop. Mm-hmm. So with volume two, that's kind of what that was I made all those beats on the EPS, on my Insonic EPS for the most part. And just kind of getting more of like that 13-bit funk sound and, you know, just making beats out of my element pretty much. Because that's what making beats live is like for me personally. It's kind of making the beats out of my element. Right, because I don't want to go too deep into making beats live, but just kind of like a quick explanation. When I make music by myself, I can make a mistake and not feel self-conscious about making that mistake. Whereas if I make a beat live, that same mistake, I'll quickly correct, and I won't dive into that mistake because sometimes it's good to get familiar with some of your mistakes and to maybe pushed it because it might be some kind of different style that you haven't been doing. But anyways, yeah, not to digress too much, but that's kind of what volume two was me making all these beats live and out of my comfort zone.
Got you. So you making beats on Twitch, what are some lessons you learned making beats on Twitch about your own creation style?
Yeah, well, that just like what I was saying, just kind of, you know, making. I learned that when I'm by myself making these beats, I'm not saying like I'm the most self-conscious kind of person, but you know, I do have a little bit of self-consciousness when it comes to my art, right? So when I was making the beats live, I learned that I won't allow myself to make a mistake, right? Whereas you know, so I might come, like, things might be a little bit more like clean edge because I'm not allowing myself to dive into my mistakes. Whereas like an album like Smoke, that I could never make live, right? Because I had to make a lot of mistakes to make these sounds. You know, I had to explore through things that were kind of uncomfortable, right? You know, like for instance, Firewall Nexus Catalyst, that one track, right? That's a very weird track where the time signature changes and the BPM changes slowly throughout the whole track, right? I have an automation just going throughout it. If I would not have been able to do that live, right? Because I would have been feeling like, oh man, these, and it's kind of weird because I don't like to talk about this too much, but it's like, oh, these people are going to judge me. Oh, they're thinking that this probably sounds like shit right now. And that's kind of what I learned about when I did the lives, when I was doing the live streams, was that like, I have to work past that, you know, break past that to make something that might be out of bounds. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's kind of what I learned.
Wow, yeah, man, breaking your own limitations, man. I mean, and it's probably 9 times out of 10 for every human on this earth, like we put our own thoughts of what everybody might be thinking type of thing, you know, and in reality ain't nobody thinking about our asses, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they just want the dope music, man. Does it bump, you know what I mean? Is it quality music, you know? So I think for you, man, I don't think you have nothing to worry about, man. Like your music is, and I know you're still in your discovery phases and journey. But for me as a listener, man, and as a supporter as well, like your music, you don't have anything to worry about, man. I think you good. You own to something, man. It's different from anybody else's music as well. Like I wouldn't even want to compare your music to somebody else, so I won't. But man, volume two is another one of them things. And then we go to volume three. Volume 33, which is all created on the PO-33, correct?
Yeah, all those beats are made on the PO-33.
Man, you got the cassette. All right, listen, everybody. Listen, so when I found this album, because you put it out in March, right? So,
yep.
Man, that's how long I've been living with it. Man, yo, it's been a while. So, you got the limited edition cassette, right? I think you got maybe 7 remaining, but just the cover drew me in, right? Because it's a dark cover, but it's also like a Neo Tokyo type of vibe, type of,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but then you got the like the TV, you know, that when TV, like the broadcast signal on the, you know, the spine of the cassette. Like, yo,
yeah.
We got to talk about Volume 33, man. I could geek out with you about it. But how did Volume 33 come to be, man?
So Volume 33 kind of came out of like a midlife crisis, right? Where I was like, yo, I'm putting out all this stuff on IG. I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to promote myself, but I'm like, what am I really promoting myself for? Like, what, you know? And so when I made 33, I had a bunch of PO-33 beats already lined up. So I'll put that straight, right? I had these PO-33 beats lined up for like, since I started making beats on the PO-33 for like a year and a half, right? So I had these beats for a hot minute, right? And so I'm like, you know, in a month from now, it's gonna be a 3-3, right? March 3rd in 2023, right? And you know, I got all these PO-33 beats, and I'm like, and I'm 33 years old, and I'm like, yo, I gotta release a project on 3-3. It has to come to fruition. So I work with a lot of the people that I had met over the year on IG after promoting myself, networking with people. I connected with the person who created my cover, which was Organic Software. So at organic.software on IG, if you guys want to check that out. And then I also worked with now my friend waiting_RFQ, who taught me a lot about Glitch. And he taught me like a lot about just how to make these visuals. And it was like, it was literally like crunch mode in this like 1 month period where I made this. So that's kind of what I wanted to put forward with the album, was for it to sound that way, where it sounds like kind of spastic at times and like everything kind of cut short. I wanted to have that same exact vibe as how I put it out in the first place, right? I don't know if that makes sense, but that's kind of what I wanted to do with the project, and that's what came across. So I worked with those visual artists, and then I also worked with Verse Osmo, who did all of my cuts, right, on the project. And Verse Osmo, man, he blew up on IG, by the way. It's crazy to see, because you know, when he was working on my project, we were talking about like, you know, how can we promote our music? How can we get out there and like have more eyes see our stuff? And he put out like a reel and it made like a bunch of views. And it was, I was so happy to see that, because like this dude is so talented. And that's kind of why I wanted him to do all the cuts for my project, right? And so I have two features from him on my album. So that's the collaboration with him. And then I also work with a jazz musician. His name is Free the Zodiac. Yeah. And so for that, I had a couple of jazz cuts where I felt like, all right, these are some cool jazz beats, like jazzy style beats. I'd like to get like a horns over it, right? So and that's another person I met through IG, because he collabed on one of my reels kind of out of the blue, and that's how I started working with him. So a lot of this album just came about with me working with all these people on IG, and then me having like a midlife crisis, saying I need to put out something, and I want it to be spectacular, I want it to be memorable. And that's kind of how it all came about, was just this concept. And that's also how the album cover came about too, right? The physical cassettes, how it has that that like kind of that, what's that called, the thing on the spine. And then even the front cover, you know, when I saw that cover, it reminded me of like, you know, like Rush Hour Traffic and stuff. And so that's kind of where all these concepts came about. And so, yeah, that's pretty much volume 33.
So it's the cover, man. Cause it, the cover is like, it's kind of like you're staring out of a window at the traffic. Like, man, it goes so well with the album. I'm still like, man, if you put this on and then you like start listening to music from Hello all the way to Goodbye, yo, man, this thing is crazy, man. We got to talk about The Bad featuring Vivid too, man, because. Yo, who's Vivid again?
So Vivid is my brother.
Okay, yeah. Oh yeah, he's the rhymer, right? So he's the rhymer. Yeah. Man, he did his thing on there too, man. Yo, from the first track when it comes in, it's man, who is that talking, man? I'm trying to remember.
Oh, Saguru.
Saguru, yeah. He's one. He's like, yo, we having people don't know what's going on. You know, with their life, they reach a certain point, they don't know what to do, man. And then you just and that weaves in and out of the album as you're listening to it, man. So let me ask you this, the midlife crisis that you were speaking of, how did this album affect that situation?
I felt accomplished that I was able to put out a project with physical copies and people actually purchased them and you know, and I had a ton of streams, and that shit just meant so much to me, and it just kind of kept me inspired, and it also, I felt like relief off my shoulders with the reception of it, as well as just sorry, my son screaming at the back.
No, you good.
But yeah, just as the reception of it just felt like a kind of like a weight off the shoulders kind of type beat. So
I got you. Yeah, kudos. I'm clapping it up right now, man, because that album is dope, man. And then you went and smacked us again with the volume 33 Continue. Where did that come from?
Oh yeah, no, it was you know, because I made a bunch of like a series of beats on IG, and I'm like, because I was already kind of like feeling kind of hype and inspired by the project and having that experience, right? And so I was just really kind of happy about it. So I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna put out 7 more tracks and make it even 40, and just kind of just do a little continued. I'm never going to create another continued after that. But it was just kind of like I was feeling inspired by that project and the reception from it. So, and I was making I made like 7 beats on IG I really liked. So that's kind of why I put out continued like that.
Man, this, yo, listen, Fucci, yo, your music, man, I'm really like, I'm definitely a fan, man. And I'm pretty sure, after people listen to our conversation and then start listening and going down the Fucci rabbit hole, they're going to be fans too, man. So y'all make sure y'all follow on Bandcamp, man. Follow him on IG. I got to ask the question about the content creation that you're doing on IG, man. Like from the video setups to the, you know what I mean? You still got the TV tube. To where you still got the PlayStation and everything hooked up to it, like what is that part of your world? Because you got the toy figures surrounding you as well. Like, is that your own oasis where you create?
Yeah. Just so really, ever since I started doing IG, I'm like, I was like, you know, I was thinking just making it all about my music and just putting out my beats and that's it. But I kind of realized, you know, it's fun to just kind of be myself and to let my hobbies show through on here. So I've always kind of been a comic book nerd. And that's kind of where my toy collection came from. I'm still a comic book nerd, so I'm obsessed with it, bro. I like still go to the comic shops and buy comics, and I go to the yard sales on the weekends and try to find like toys and games and shit. But yeah, it's just a culmination of my hobbies, really, too. You know, I do this on like a daily. I have a lot of indoor hobbies. Like, I like playing retro video games, new video games, like collecting toys and reading comic books. I'm a 33-year-old kid, bro.
Right. Yo, man. Listen, I just watching your videos, man, it brings that childhood up. You know what I mean? Like, it's a good feeling. It's a good emotion, man, that I get when I'm watching your videos, man. For everybody that don't know, man, I'm telling y'all, check out his IG, man. Y'all gonna feel the same way. The camera work that you're doing, is that you doing the camera work?
The camera, yeah, it's my iPhone, bro. I got my iPhone hooked up. And
that's just your iPhone?
Like, yeah, bro.
Man, yo, I'm thinking this is like a Canon or a Nikon type of thing. Like, it looks that good. You know what I mean? To where it gave me that impression, man. Like, what made you just say, you know what? I got this iPhone. I'm going to use it to create videos.
I don't know, man. It's just, you know, I guess this was the best means for me to put out my music, but also remain, I guess, original without, you know, because I don't want to have to compromise and make all these like reels where I have to do something trendy, right? Like dance in front of the mirror on TikTok or some shit. Like, I don't want to have to do that, bro. I'm like, I'm no hating on people that do it, right? I want to put that forward. I'm not hating on people that do it. It's just not me, you know. It's not me. Just, I don't like that. So, so that's kind of why I'm like, yo, I got to figure out a way to put out my music. What better way than just to grab my iPhone, hook it up to my 404 with the USB cable, and start recording some of my beats that I'm making.
Man. Yeah, I definitely understand, yo, just being yourself and not having to do the whole dance in the mirror thing just to, you know, just to make content. Yo, man, it's definitely you. Like, I'm a big fan of your reels, of your content, man. I'm gonna probably link one in the description of the show just so everybody can see. But yo, everybody go to his IG, follow him on IG. It's Fuchi_music. All right. So Fuchi_music. Tap in with him, man. Listen. I got last two questions, man, because I know you got things to do. Who is your favorite comic book character? Because I know you got a lot of different toys, comic books.
Ooh,
yeah. Let's talk comics. Yeah.
My favorite comic book character. I'd probably say Daredevil. Daredevil, and I mean, I know this is kind of a vanilla answer, but a Batman too, you know, because he just got some crazy comic book arcs. But yeah, them two, both of them, man. Frank Miller, one of my favorites.
Wow. So, okay, what is it about Daredevil and Batman? Why those two characters?
Just I like that, like, kind of raw, gritty, vigilante, you know, not too overpowered, right? Because a lot of these comic book characters, they got like way too many powers. For Daredevil, it's just that he got sonar and he's just a master of kung fu. So that's kind of why I like Daredevil so much. And then same with Batman. He's just this millionaire playboy, and he's got like, he just got all these different tools and gadgets, and he's really good at hand-to-hand combat. So that's kind of like why I prefer them so much and like reading their comics.
Man, yo, man, two good ones. Now, hold on, let me ask you this question. I know, did you watch the Daredevil on Netflix. That show.
Yeah, bro, I rewatched it. I'm rewatching it right now.
how you feel about that, yo? Because I think it's one of the best.
I honestly think it's the best. I don't think there's been anything really out since that that's been. I mean, Luke Cage was really good, yeah, I'd probably say Daredevil's like my favorite TV show from Marvel so far.
Mm. Yeah, man, just the fight scenes alone were like it's quality fight scenes. It's not, you know what I mean, like cheesy fight scenes where it's just extra camera work and stuff like that. Like, these were legit fight scenes, man. Like, yo, and the storytelling, yo, it's such a dope series. And let me ask you this about the animated series for Batman. Is that one of the go-tos for you too?
You know, I haven't really watched too many of his animated series. I did watch Batman Forever when I was a kid. But I didn't watch too much of his animated series. More, I read the comic books, his graphic novels, and of course the movies. I got to watch anyone that comes out. The Dark Knight trilogy is the best superhero movie I think we're ever going to get.
Yeah, the trilogy was fire though. I mean, I'm partial to the very first Batman with him and the Joker, with Jack Nicholson playing the Joker. I'm partial to that, yo. It's just one of the best. And when it came out, I was like, oh, like holy crap! Like, I thought it was a real Gotham City somewhere in the United States. You know what I mean? As a kid, I'm like, man, I was all in it, man. But yo, okay. I said last two questions, but I'm geeking out with you right now. Okay, so let me ask this question. Where you are, where you're located at, right? In Brooksville, Florida, like who should we or even Tampa or anywhere you are, but who are some beat makers in inside of that beat community that we should be tapped into? We should be looking
at. So in Tampa, I'd probably say I don't want to say anybody's the best, right? But I think my personal favorite, and who I would consider my personal, right? Because I'm just my opinion. One of my goats here in Tampa? I'd probably say Bowmunk. Bowmunk is. I'm saying outside of my group, outside of like me, Moby Vic, and all of us, Bowmunk is out of this world, bro. He's like a multi-instrumentalist. He could sing, and he put out one project, one beat tape that's fucking amazing. Him. And then you just got like other people out in Tampa that are just really, really incredible, like Rozell and I'm drawing a blank right now, man. But yeah, there's some real good producers out here, man. And it's crazy because they could do like they're good at adding instrumentation over the sample, and that's like I always had initially kind of had a problem with doing that. It's tough to do, but they're just like crazy good at it. Especially Bowmunk. If you were to listen to his project, bro, you'd be like, damn, the layers on this thing. All of his tracks got like 8 layers coming in and out, and it's all like complex. It's crazy, bro. He's got mad flavor too, bro. Ton of great saturation on the tracks. So yeah, Bowmunk, he's the guy.
Where do you find him? Bowmunk.
Bowmunk. So it's BAUXMONK. That's how you say it, all one word. And you can find him on IG at Bowmunk. And then he also has his project on all DSPs. I just want to find the name of it. Well and Good. That's the name of his project. Yeah. So you can find that on all DSPs as well. So.
Got you. Okay, Bowmunk. BAUXMONK. Okay. Yeah, man. Listen, I'm all about, you know, like if. You know there's people, especially if you interact inside of the community where you are and rub elbows with other beat makers, music producers, composers, like You know, sometimes, like, we got to shout them out, man, and just let people know, like, yo, they exist. They are creating, other people are creating music, so people can kind of start tapping into their stream of what they're doing. And, you know what I mean? And we, you know, start working like that, man. Just building their
everything up.
There's probably a million beat makers in the world, man. And I probably won't even get to interview all of them just because, you know, it's so many. But the dope ones, yeah. I definitely like Cerebro. I got Cerebro on, man. I'll just be tapping into Cerebro. Cerebro is IG for me. If I'm Professor X, like, Cerebro is IG, you know, so.
Yes, sir.
But, okay, so I got to ask this question. And if you're able to, who is your top 5 or 10 beat makers of all time? No, and RZA. No genres off limits either.
Okay. I'm only gonna do hip hop here. RZA, DJ Premier, Madlib, J Dilla. Who's number 5? Oh man,
Fucci?
Nah, man, no way. I don't know. I want to say Kanye. But I just know that there's like other producers out there that are just like crazy,
and they don't have to be well known producers. Like somebody that you've been listening to is like super dope.
I actually don't listen to much hip hop. Whenever I'm listening to music, if I do listen to hip hop, I listen to like the same 3 freaking albums. But I'd probably say RZA. So I said RZA, DJ Premier, Pete Rock. There you go. I'll throw Pete Rock up on the top 5.
Pete Rock, Madlib, RZA, DJ Premier, Kanye. We got to throw Fucci on there, man. Like, we just,
yeah.
We got to, man. Like, yo, because. Listen, man, we could be fans of like all these, you know, other creatives and artists, but yo, we gotta be a fan of ourselves, yo. And
yeah,
yo, like, I'm gonna add you to that list, man. Fucci, yeah, that's the top six. That's what I'll say.
Damn, bro.
You know what I'm saying? Fucci, man. But okay, so all right, now we at the final two questions. And you've been doing this for 14 years, so what's the one thing you wish you knew before you started making beats?
Mixing. I wish I knew that it was. I'm not gonna say it's as simple as, but I'm gonna say it's as simple as just getting your levels right and getting your panning right and getting your EQs. It's really, I think that when I initially started, I made it overly difficult, and I always made it a deal to try to make all the sounds right in front of your face. And I didn't learn till like 10 years down the road that, you want to gain stage everything properly. So, you know, this is your lead instrument, and then these are all your backing instruments. And then do you want this kick to poke out like this and the snare to poke out like that? And I didn't learn that until like probably 4 years ago. So, yeah, I wish I knew that when I started. But if I knew that when I started, I would have probably never found my sound, right? Mm. So, yeah. I don't know. That's a tough one.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about that, actually, too, man. Like, if you had all the answers, like, well, where's the journey at? You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
You know, where's the failure coming to play so you can fail forward, type of thing, you know? So, man.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, man. Last question, Fucci. What can the internets look out for the rest of, you know, 2023? Where are you trying to take your music, man? And how can people find you on socials and your websites and stuff like that?
So on socials, it's always going to be Fucci underscore music. As far as future releases, I kind of got three projects that I've been sitting on for a while now that are pretty much finished. Just a few finishing touches. And so that'll be coming out. The two of the three will be coming out in 2024. But in October, I plan to release, I'm not going to say it's a continuation of Smoke, but it's within the series. It's going to be called Turismo. So it's like T-U-R-I-S-M-O. Mm-hmm. Actually, the first time I announced that album. But yeah, so I got that coming out in October. I'll have like dates and everything. So definitely look out for that. And
we got an exclusive right here.
Let me drop
the flex bomb. Yeah, we got an exclusive.
Exclusive.
Yeah. Oh, Clue. No, that's DJ Clue. Yeah.
Yeah. The Illuminati.
Yo. Man. Okay. Keep going. Yeah.
So then in the future, I'm going to continue to always make hip hop beats because that's my love, but I'm definitely going to be putting out a lot of different styles and flavors, for the upcoming year and just for the rest of this year, just to kind of get other people kind of acclimated to all the other stuff I'm making. Cause at the end of the day, I don't only make hip hop. I make a little bit of everything, besides country music, but I have the ability to work with my band and make music there. And then I also, make stuff on my own. That's like electronic music or ambient kind of deal. So I'll definitely be throwing in more flavors and different visuals too. So that's kind of what I got planned for the future. Definitely going to be more project oriented coming up these next few months. Definitely look out for that.
Yeah, man. Yo, Fucci underscore music, man. Volume 33. Volume 33 continued, man. Listen, just go ahead and grab the whole discography from Fucci, man, on Bandcamp, man. Fuccibeats.bandcamp.com, internets. Man, listen, it was an honor chopping it up with you. We got a beat maker, musician, beat maker, retro gamer, content creator, Brooksville, Florida is in the house. You know what I mean?
Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, hip hop, electronic funk, experimental. Like, yo, he's doing it all. IT, any of y'all got some IT questions? Hit my man Fucci up too. I don't know if we're gonna make him pay for that consultation, but
yeah.
But listen, any final words for the internet, Fucci?
Any final words? I'm bad with final words. Consistency is key. And another thing is you're only as creative as the experiences that you have. And one more thing after that, everything around you for the most part was created by a human, so don't knock your own ideas, right? Because they could be like a cool creation, so if you knock your ideas down, that creation won't ever happen. And so one thing you got to know is everything around you is created by a human, so you're a creator as well, so don't ever knock yourself down. So you gotta love yourself, and that's kind of my my last words. Peace and love, Fucci.
Yeah. And so that is the show. That is episode number 102. We are in the hundos, man. I want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to listen to this show. I also want to leave some instructions as well, man. So listen, call to action. If you enjoy this show and you get benefit from this show, you think I'm doing a great job providing for this show, I also want you to rate the show. Okay, so in the application that you are listening to the show, scroll down, hit 1 or 5 stars. Also leave a comment, man. That feeds the algorithm and just lets get more eyes on it. But also, if you enjoy the show as well, scroll down to the bottom in the description, click support the show. That'll take you to a page on my Buzzsprout where I host the show, to where you can donate or subscribe. But then also you can go to goldenmindbeast.com, click on donations, and then you can donate that way. I think I have Venmo set up. I think I have Cash App set up, and I might add my PayPal as well, man. I'm still every day, man. I'm still working towards that $2,200 laptop. And thank you to those that gave donations, man. As soon as I reach that goal, I'm going to make a video for that to thank every single one of y'all that have contributed toward that goal. So I just want to say thank you. We're going to have an amazing weekend, an amazing week. Make sure you count your blessings and not your problems. And I'm going to see y'all on another episode of the Rec Show Podcast, man. Fucci, I appreciate you, man. I'm going to see y'all later, man. Peace and love, yo. Bow, 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 bow.
Kids or other producers, like, that's cheating. You can't really be sad, but bro, like, when it comes to this producing shit, you can do whatever you want.
You've been listening to the Rec Show Podcast. Be sure to subscribe, like, and leave a comment. Remember 3 things. Believe in your music. Take care of your mentals. Become the best version of yourself. Until the next one, Golden Mind signing off. Peace and love, yo.
To be the best, you got to work overtime. To be the best, you got to work overtime.
These young boys getting better. This is not like the NBA when you can retire. Like, this is, you have to keep going.